We are in Come Follow Me week 22, which is Matthew 26, Mark 14, John 13. And I want to center in Matthew 26. And so if you start in verse 16, it says, in 15, Judas covenants to betray Christ. And in 16, it says, and from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And to me, it's just the choice has been made. That's his desire. That's his focus. And that just goes so much with there are so many questions many of us have regarding the church. And I love Elder Uchtdorf's comment where he says, doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. What is your desire? Is your desire to find a testimony, to find truth, to find backing for what you hope to be true? Or is your desire to poke holes and flaws and to find backing for the questions that you have? Okay, so now I want to go in verse 21. And they've all gathered and they're here for this sacrament. And it says, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say to you that one of you shall betray me. 22. And they began to be exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? 23. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in this dish, the same shall betray me. 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better for that man if he had not been born. 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. Okay, so there's a couple things in this. The first is three times the Lord pretty much declares to Judas that he knows he's going to betray him. And the others, we are told in Matthew, verse 29, John chapter 13, verse 29. No one understood what he was talking about but Judas. And as I was teaching this in seminary, the thought that came is God gives us so many warnings and so many opportunities to repent. And I think this is such a great example because over and over, three times he says it, not to make Judas feel stupid or dumb. Everyone's sitting there saying, Lord, is it I? The ultimate, though, is when Judas says, is it I? And he already knows it is. We've been told clear back there in verse 16, from that minute he made that, and it says covenant in John. He covenanted to betray him. That's a promise. We know that covenant is a serious word. So it's such throwing it in the face of Christ to say, is it I? He already knows. So it's the third warning that he gets. Will you repent? Will you be humble? Will you admit you've done something wrong? And that's the gift that repentance gives us, to make amends, to turn, to say sorry, and to change, right? Okay, so now I want to go down to 31. Then Jesus said to them, all ye shall be offended. And offended means strike against, displeased, make angry because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. So he's basically saying, I'm not going to be displeased. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going anywhere. 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say to thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. 35, Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And I love this. Peter followed him afar off and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. His desire is still to be with the Lord, but he is afraid. Who knows what that is? If the Lord has told him to distance himself, we don't know. But we know his desire because he follows afar off. And how many times are we afar off? I think that's so symbolic. Okay, 72 and 73. Again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." 73, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." 74, "Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And the cock crowed." And I think it's interesting that he cursed and sweared, like to change his speech. That's what I thought. Followers of Christ, you can tell, right? By the light in their eye, the way they talk. I know that's not what this is saying, but it's so symbolic to me. And it was interesting to read it that way as he begins to swear and curse. He doesn't want to be confused as a follower. And then 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Okay, so now jump back in 48. And it says this, "Now he that betrayed him," and this is Judas, "gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I kiss, the same is he." 49, "And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Okay, so there's a few things in this. First off, Judas could have said, whoever I tap, whoever I call out Jesus and he turns and looks at me. How, you know, he could have done any numbers of ways, but kissing is a sacred symbol of love. And it is the ultimate betrayal to throw it in the Savior's face. Second thing, he calls him Master. He does not call him Lord or Savior. And third thing, Jesus says, Friend. He does not call him Son. He does not call him brother, which he has called all of his disciples, that we are the family of Christ. Those of us who love him and accept him as our Savior, we become his children. And I think those are so interesting in there. So for me, this theme was really repentance, the opportunity to change, that Jesus tells Judas. Judas acts like he's not going to do anything wrong, throws it right back in the Savior's face in the ultimate betrayal that he can. Peter, he tells, Peter does go and do it, although he continues to follow afar off. His desire is still to be with the Savior. And then he weeps bitterly. And the interesting thing to me is that this changes Peter from here on out. And Peter ultimately does prove to the Lord that he will go to with him to the bitter end and be crucified. And I think the message for me is, what are my desires? Are my desires exactly what I said at the first, to stand with Christ and fortify my testimony and strengthen what I believe to be true until it becomes knowledge, and to forgive myself my sins because I'm going to repent and turn and change, but even if I'm afar off, I'm going to pursue him and follow? Or am I going to poke for holes and look for questions and look for doubt and anything I can to fortify those doubts so that I don't stand with him, but ultimately throw in his face everything he's given me and betray him? That's what this lesson is to me. And to me, it is the desire to be made more. And I loved this in Mark chapter 14, there's a scripture that says in verse 38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And that's when Peter, James, and John go to the garden with him and they fall asleep. And this so struck me because we all are in training, telling our bodies that our spirits are in control. And that our spirit, who is a divine son or daughter of God, knows who it is. And I love that scripture, "Help thou my unbelief. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Lord, make of me more." And to me, this lesson is Peter was made more. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.